Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and I'm Augie Carton stealing beer. What is up, John Hall and Justin Kennedy?
Hi.
Hello, how are
great
you guys?
Great to be here.
Good to have you back. Hi, it's Hannah
nice
Hall.
Hi.
She's here again.
We have our
co-producing.
The baby hanging out with Cass for
teaching
a few minutes.
Teaching Cass how to tweak our ass across the crossfader. What is up, thieves? We are back and we are talking beer. Today we have a special guest.
Did air quotes for that.
Well, because I always say special, and doesn't that make it not special if everybody's special?
Okay.
But I think Daniel's special. We have Daniel Endicott of Forest in Maine. Thank you for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So Forest in Maine is 20 minutes outside Philly. Everybody I've ever talked to about your brewery tells me that. But I don't know the direction, and Philly's a circle. So,
right.
So of the 360 degrees, which degree would you go 20 minutes in direction of?
Northwest, which would be...
Into Pennsylvania more.
Right.
Away from Jersey.
Right.
Okay.
That's cool. now, let's see. So one of the things we've been doing recently that I've been having trouble putting words to, because when I say it, it always sounds so pretentious or snotty or salesman-y, so I back away from it.
You?
Yeah, you know me. You know me and how douchey I get.
Look at the shirt, John. Come on.
Dude, sit down. Be humble. you shush.
No.
Cass is mad because I'm touching his computer, thieves. What I want to say is I'm always trying to put what's going on in this kind of what feels like a very exciting moment in beer, which I don't think is a very exciting moment in beer, really.
Right.
Or I don't think it's as exciting as people are saying or in the ways they're saying. I think there's a lot of excitement. But I'm always trying to put it in context of how I view it as an artist and what kind of artist I want to be versus what kind of artist other people are kind of trying to be, and how the world of art has 50 kinds of artists, the world of music has 50 kinds of music, and not everybody needs to fit a thing and what kind of artist you're going to be. And what's fun about having you in is when I asked Falco, what do I talk to Dan about? He's like, you're probably best off talking about is art. Because besides being somebody who manufactures beer, which I'll argue for you is an art, you do physical art, right?
I do, yes.
And that's outside just your labels. You do physical art, right?
Right.
So let's start by talking about your art, and then we'll move that conversation to how that affects your brewing, I hope. So what's your milieu? What's your medium? How do you art?
So I went to art school before opening a brewery and majored in glass blowing, but that was really just more
like
because
pipes
I was,
or actual pieces.
No, like drinking vessels and
right on,
yeah, yeah.
Right on.
I couldn't make you a pipe if you wanted to, or if I wanted myself to.
Although I hear that's a good business these days.
It is. so that was more of the conceptual art, you know, fine art background, and I went. Majored in glass blowing, like I said, but now mainly just painting oils and watercolors. So
okay.
I do a lot of watercolors for the beer labels themselves. And then at home, when I can find time, I do oil painting, portraits, kind of
like
abstract.
Real easel and palette.
Yes,
and
real
like, old
school.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah,
that's cool.
So that was always my first love before beer. And I'm lucky enough that they've kind of merged. So now I do both.
But you also are a dad with a young child. So let's just look at the pie chart of your day. You're running a... So we should talk about Forest in Maine, the actual physical structure.
Right,
you
right.
are a brew pub.
Yes.
You serve food. You're a small Victorian home, 20 minutes outside Philly, that you converted to... It wasn't a restaurant at all when
it
you
was
started,
not.
Or it was a restaurant
it was
that
not.
You turned
into?
It was
a bakery on the first floor and a knitting shop on the second floor. So
cool.
Odd combination.
I like it.
Some good stuff.
So artisanal.
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of... renovated the whole place, and where the bakery was, we put the brewery, and then we have two floors of a restaurant now.
Okay.
And it's basically four little rooms. It's a house from the 1880s, so you walk in, the bar room's on the left, dining room's on the right, upstairs, two more dining rooms.
Okay. There's some bars like that in Hoboken, right? With that kind of physical
layout.
Yeah,
a couple.
Like I feel like I've,
yeah, the house,
I feel like
the house itself is nothing special. The fact that we put a brewery and a kitchen and restaurant into it's kind of special, but from the outside it's just a basic Victorian house, you know, four bedroom.
But that's charming.
I
wouldn't downplay that. Have you ever seen my brewery? It's literally a concrete block in the middle of a small town.
Across
from an elementary school that's a brick block.
What I find interesting, though, is I visit a lot of breweries. I talk to a lot of folks. And 9 times out of 10 these days, people open up a small brewery about the size of Augie's, where it's a tasting room. And on their website, it's, you know, hey, here's our food truck calendar. Right. You know, and that has really become the new brew pub in that it's not at all. It's just a simple brewery and tasting room, turning out great stuff, hopefully. But the whole concept of a brew pub, which is what most of what this this modern renaissance was born off of, has fallen by the wayside. Was it that led you into it? Was it something else that led you into it? I mean, why a brew pub in this day and age?
But it's not this day and age. You opened in 12.
Yeah, we didn't have the option.
I would say, because I opened in 11. Right. And I think everybody that's opened since us is where you're talking about. I think that changes by like 13 and a half.
We had to have some restaurant. We had to serve some food when we opened. Which is not to say we didn't want to do that. I mean, that was something
we
always wanted to serve our beer with our food.
Sure.
In our setting. You know, that was always sort of like, I'm very proud of our beer. I think we make phenomenal beer, but I think the setting goes a long ways to making it phenomenal in some ways. Like, you know, I love British pubs, and to me, like, that drinking that pint in that pub is half of the enjoyment of the pint.
Do you make meat pies? I just came back from London. That's why I'm bothering you. I just got back from London with my kids, and besides doing some good dinners, I made them go to, like, a pub in Mayfair for us. My kid had a steak and mushroom. I had a steak and kidney.
Oh, it's the best.
Chicken and league.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some proper cast.
We do fish and chips.
It was a lovely day.
You know, we're not like strict British pub.
No, but still, meat pies. If I knew there was a good meat pie within 2 hours of the house,
too.
I'd go get it. I think they're awesome.
What is your fish and chip recipe? Like,
it's
how do you do the
beer battered? You said whatever bitter we have on tap, on hand pump.
Yeah.
And I'm not. I don't cook them, so I couldn't tell you the whole thing. But
okay.
Pretty classic, I think, but
Made
with our beer. But
good servings of that are tough to come by.
They're phenomenal.
In the US.
So good.
If you want me to teach you one, I'll teach you.
All right.
It's easy.
I'll come down.
It's tapioca starch and vodka.
Oh, is it?
Yep. He'll tell you. It's that easy. But anyway, back to so I didn't realize that. Clarify something for me because I didn't know that. In Pennsylvania, to serve beer, you must serve food. Like, could you be a production brewery that didn't serve anything and not worry about a license?
Nowadays, you can be.
Okay,
but that law changed 2 years ago, I think.
All right.
When we opened in 2012, you had to serve food, and you could have gone the route of like a hot dog roaster and bags of chips, but that wasn't our style.
See, Jersey won't let me serve food, and it kills me because I'd rather do what you're doing. I'd rather be Dogfish Head than be, you know, Anheuser-Busch. But Jersey kind of insists you must be Anheuser-Busch.
Huh.
Well, they're a big business around here, and it affects the way our laws were written. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can't serve food. You give them beer samples associated with a tour, and then you sell them beer and kick them out. And I wish I could. I could make flavors to go with
my
flavors.
So you can't sell pints?
We can sell pints, but I can't put pretzels on the bar.
Okay.
Like, because then I'm a restaurant and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I don't
want
to get into that.
But
I'm just saying, I envy
you. We know a guy. Just
go
around
back. We know a pretzel guy. But I envy you your ability to put together. So there's two of you as a partnership. How involved are you in food, or do you have a chef that handles that and you focus on?
We have a chef that handles all that. So, the first, 3 years of our business, myself and my partner, we're very involved in the restaurant. Now, 5 years in, we've stepped back a lot. We've given responsibilities to managers who are doing a great job, and we're not there at night anymore. You know, the first couple of years, we were there at night. We're brewing beer at night, managing the restaurant at night, closing the bar, and we both have kids, and it was it got old very quickly. So,
but you're well loved and demanded. Well, I've got two questions and they're fighting, so what I'm going to do is go to the back glass and then we'll come back. But it's two things that I think end up the same. One is the fact that you're truly a brew pub, and the fact that I think you've made 300 beers in 4 years, which is clearly the liberty of on-premise conversations in small tanks, versus everybody seems to like what you're doing, so you're doing these bottles once a month that you do the art for, slash where do you intend to grow? And that'll be where we get to. But let's talk about the Black Glass while you mull which of those is a better direction to get through both. So, John Hull, what brings us together? Steal This Beer is
Monday
a candid discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Steal This Beer is a candid discussion of beer and what it is and
is
not
it
what,
still?
Not what we expected, not what we were told, not what the people that waited online and traded it with us told us it would be, but just what the fuck it is.
Right.
And to facilitate that, we pour it blind into black glasses. John and I have no idea what we're drinking. Daniel brought it and Justin poured it, so you know, right, Justino?
I sure do.
I'm stuck between this being a sour ferment and being a sour citrus fruit in a saison, because I've got some real character of real yeasts. You know what I mean? Like could be Belgian, could be saison, could be Belgian saison, could just be a warm ferment on even Chico. But I don't know if they let lacto go a little bit with that, or they just put something like, you know, unripe guava or something in here, and that's where that acidity is coming.
You know, that unripe note goes a long way towards this.
If I said these were hard mangoes, would you go, no, you're fucking crazy, Augie?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. There is... the fruit characteristic to this has that very unripe, almost very hard fruit where we're accustomed to eating it soft type texture to it.
Like a young plum?
Yeah, but this also has what I would say is a bit of age to it as well. Like it tastes like something that has been sitting around for a while, and it has that sort of musty, chalky, almost like powdered bitter chocolate thing on the end of it as well. That could be oxidation. It could be...
If you told me this was one of Evan's beers, I'd be okay with that.
I'm sorry, you
Plan
you
B.
Dropped that
from
name
Plan
over
B.
there. Yeah.
Plan B. He's okay. Been on the show. The thieves know
was
him.
I here?
Evan, you know, Evan.
You should pay attention. I think you were here.
Evan Rail?
No.
No?
Right. But, you know what I mean? If you told me this was his bee yeast on a bit of sulfuric water and some... But see, it wouldn't be his because I can't think of the fruit this would be from up there. Maybe red currants? Would that be nuts, like a raw red currant?
I was thinking not blackberry, not... some sort of... Yeah.
Let's talk about its body, because it goes away quick.
It really does.
It's gone.
It absolutely disappears. But
there's a little
like a
bit
nice...
of sulfur and a little bit of yeast tailing at the end.
But a really nice dryness.
Yeah, super, super zippy dryness. But like tannic dryness. That's why I'm back to red berries instead of my mango idea. Maybe even a wine barrel, but no. Anyway, all right, so where are you going to drink it?
Justin has invited me over for cheese.
You two are so lazy with your fucking cheese. Can you tell me the kind of cheese? Maybe a really aged goat cheese that you're grating from, say, Coach Farms or something?
What do you mean,
like on a salad with some toasted pine nuts? Really, you're just going to have
this is like a cheddar brick that you want.
Cheddar with this? You got that
I'm
wrong.
Teasing,
That's
teasing,
dead
teasing.
To me. You're dead to me. Is it because he said British? And you're like, well, there's only one cheese in the world?
No, this... God, this to me is again very. It's so simple. It goes so fast. It's so dry that this is almost like mid-afternoon reading the New Yorker in my chair, not really thinking about it.
I think it wants something though, because I'm assuming it's a bottle. It might even be corked, and I'm imagining they're 750. So to get through a second and third glass, I'm gonna need something to take the edge off that sulfur bit. Not that I mind it. I like it. I think it's defining. I think it's very cool and in no way overdone. But hello, new producer Hannah Hall. But that being said, for five or six of these, I would want something. But it could be something as easy as like salted hazelnuts or macadamia nuts just in a bowl that I'm snacking on. You know, I mean, something with some fat and some salt to just, you know, take the edge off it and let it do its thing. And I think that would pop up the redness of the fruit a bit. But we don't need to overthink it. I think it's a pretty straightforward, simple, fruited sour and fun to drink, so why beat the hell out of it?
Okay.
You brought it. Did it do what you wanted it to do? Is it what you expected? Do you agree with our notes? Does that make sense? Does it show the way you hoped it would? Because I feel like this is one of those bottles, if you had a case, you could see variation bottle to bottle.
Right, right. I mean, I've had this beer probably like a year ago now, and it's definitely drinking much differently than it did back then. It's also a little warmer now.
The weather or the beer? Because the beer was served properly warm. It's like in the 50s,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. But I think it drinks very nicely to me. But I kind of agree that it does fall a little flat.
At the end.
And, you know, I had this, I wish I could remember the name of it, sheep's milk cheese yesterday that I think would go beautifully with this.
Don't encourage Hall. Yeah. That's the quickest way off this show is encouraging Hall.
I could see how that would do what you were saying, where it just like rounded out a little bit.
Right. So what is it, Justino? So what did you learn about it when you Googled it, like John Hall told you to?
I got to read a letter before we reveal it, because it's about revealing beers.
Oh.
And someone has some criticism for us about revealing how we
criticism
reveal
for you. You're the one who reveals the beers.
Not for you.
It must be you who screwed it up. It can't be John Hall.
So I got to read this letter
first.
No,
he said you. Nobody said my name at all. That was nice, though. Nice try, Carton.
Mark C. wrote in and said...
Hello, Mark C. Hey, thank you for writing. This is weird, Daniel. We're out of my element. We don't usually do this till the end. So if I break into a finish, remind me we're in the middle of the show.
That's all right.
Hey, guys. Thanks for a great show. I've been listening for roughly 6 months now. I have a request, constructive criticism, that I think would really improve the listener experience. When you unveil the black glass beer, I'd recommend you all take a moment to be really clear on what brewery, which beer, what type of beer, and where the brewery is from.
This is a Justin criticism.
Okay, hold on. Just to be clear, when I asked him to do that, instead of doing it, he read this letter. Right? When I said, Justin, tell us what this beer is, and we were all quiet to hear the answer, he said, wait, let me read a letter. And now you're going to somehow make this my fault?
Most of the time, Justin says the name of the brewery, and then Augie cuts in and says, oh, no shit. And then goes off on an entertaining story about his personal experience with the brewer by first name. But those
funny,
of us not.
It's true.
Because it's all happened already in this story. God damn it.
But those of us not as knowledgeable are often going, wait, what was the brewery? What was the beer? So if you could encourage everyone to take a moment and be explicit in the details of the black glass, that'd be really helpful.
Hang on.
Should we all
hold
say
on.
That once?
Mark, next time you see me out in the world, I'm buying you 3 rounds, okay? I don't think I've ever offered up 3 rounds before, but find me out in the wild. Tell me, remind me of this, and 3 rounds, right. And I'll put them on Augie's
table. All right, Hal, fuck you.
And he finishes, thanks for all you do.
Oh, all right,
you're
welcome.
All right, so
welcome.
More importantly, I'm going to make this very easy on you because we clearly have no self-control. And as much as we can promise you right now, we'll be conscientious of that forever. It's never going to happen. But remember, we do have an Untappd account, and Brian does put every beer on it. So if you go to Steal This Beer's Untappd account,
right.
Every beer from every show with the guest of the show is there. So you can just look for under our check-ins for, you know, the Daniel Endicott one, and this beer will appear there with all its details.
So
the other truth is, what I want to reveal, no, fuck you, man. You don't ever get to do it right now. But the other thing is, keep in mind, some of that is exactly how blind we really are. We really have no idea what we're drinking. So there is an aha moment when he tells us any bit that reveals, where you're like, duh. Because John and I are here floundering and trying to suss out what's actually going on in the experience, and then all of a sudden you get actual information. And there's a reward to that gets exciting. But we will try to suppress that excitement through this entire reveal. And, Kennedy, if you don't know all the details that he's asked for, that Hall has asked you to know for 2 years now, it'll be your fault.
I know this beer pretty well. So.
Okay,
give it to
us.
Here we go. So this is from Oxbow Brewing.
Right on.
It's Saison Delagosta. It's the one with lobster.
Saison Delagosta.
The fruit is lobster.
So that's the fruit is lobster. So it's iodine. That makes sense though, right? Because that's what would be in a lobster shell.
Yeah.
And iodine would do exactly what we were describing.
It is a Saison.
Hold on.
But where did the fruit
come from?
It's
still a Saison. Hold on.
And the brewery is from Portland, Maine. No, they're from outside of Portland,
Maine.
They're in
Maine.
They're in Maine, yeah.
It's a good year old from when I got it.
So after all of that, you're still like, they're kind of Portland, but not really, as opposed to like the actual town.
They have a blendery in Portland.
I think
that's probably where this beer was blended, but it's probably brewed in Newcastle.
The other thing that we can do in this whole situation is we can cut off Augie's mic during your reveal.
Hannah, you're the producer. What do you think?
That would be something the engineer would be capable of.
But anyway, back to it. But here's the problem with that discussion, which is there's definitely acidity in there, and that's not a Saison.
I think it spent time in oak.
So maybe I picked up some red wineberry, and that's what I was tasting. That would make sense. But still, there was some lactate.
There was. Yeah, definitely.
So they encouraged that in some way beyond Saison yeast. All right, cool. I think it's very cool. I wonder what it was like new. Was it...
Just brighter.
Just
and
just
I know
screamed
I
out a little.
An episode where you said bright was... Yeah, clarity.
The bright tank.
The flavor was brighter, sharper, had more pop to it, I guess.
Yeah. A lot of those shellfish beers actually do age over time and sort of do become muted in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, oyster stouts are a great example of that, and even the dogfish head one that they do with
they
lobster,
did the chalk lobster,
right? Yeah.
Right.
But so to clarify the bright confusion, you can use bright to describe aromas and palates. It's just when you're describing a bright beer to a brewer, I said, all we hear is clean.
Right.
So somebody was trying to describe a New England IPA and how to make it bright, and I was like...
Especially in terms of IPAs.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
That's confusing. Sure. But if what you want is bright aromas, say, bright aromas or pick a different word.
Right.
Or maybe spell it GHT instead of IT. Would you say it out loud?
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. So back to it. So I was leading you into questions before. So
life goals.
Yeah. So how do you make, I'm assuming you're at capacity, right? Because you're in a small house with a small system.
We're not yet there.
How big is your system? I don't know. I'm just assuming
seven
from
barrels,
400
we,
beers.
We get about six barrels. All right. At the end of the day, we keg off about six barrels.
And you primarily do Saisons, Brits, and American IPAs?
Yeah, when we opened, it was strictly Saisons and British-style beers, with the British-style IPAs having more of an American leaning towards them.
Meaning American hops, or are we
American
using Chico
hops.
Yeast as well?
We've used Chico once or twice, but for 99% of our beers, it's always been either our Saison yeast or an English yeast. But IPA with English yeast and American hops is what I mean by American
I get it.
Leaning. Lately, that's taken the turn that all IPAs have taken, hazy, you know. And that's kind of really screwed up our brew schedule. It's like we're brewing.
Why? Those are much
faster. We're
brewing
at least like one of those a week, and they sell out pretty much in a week. So every week we're brewing an IPA, and it's like trying to catch up with
people. I was going to say that it's much easier to make those on a schedule.
It is, but then trying to fit,
turnaround-wise.
Fit the bitter in, and the bitter lasts for like 3 months on hand pump.
All right, so then let's talk about that. I'm sorry. So that's the exact right thing, but it just happened with a different beer term where what I would consider the modernization of these isn't their look. It's the loss of bitterness.
Right.
So let's talk about your own...
Which I think goes hand in hand with the look a little bit.
Because if I understand... I think so, too. And we can get all weird on that, but I think I've beaten that, so I don't want to. But if you have something to say...
No, not at all.
But what I think is fun for a guy who's about my tenure, you opened in 12, I opened in 11, as you've... I don't want to say follow the Zeitgeist, but as it's become the Zeitgeist and you've gotten wrapped up in it, I have too. I think we all have. It's fun to make those beers.
They're
fun
delicious
to drink.
Beers.
No one would say it's not fun to make.
I don't feel embarrassed by making these beers.
But how would you say, as somebody who came from a British tradition of pails to well-regarded in the current American tradition of juice pails, how far is your bitter moved? Bittering charges moved. Like, do you have anything left at 60? Do you have anything left at 30?
No.
Do you have anything left at 10?
Nothing's put in while the flame's still on.
Really?
See,
wow. I won't do it. I have yet to stop bittering,
and
it's
there's
why
still plenty bitter.
That's why people are confused, because my beers are very hazy. They always have been. Boat's a super hazy beer, but people regard it as not hazy because there's bitterness.
Okay.
And they're mistaking haze for no bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't understand why it's so bitter. I just made a tiny little session beer, which I think would have died without some bitterness, and it was like too bitter.
Oh, of course,
I was like, kill yourself. it's not bitter at all.
No,
but you've completely... Now, when do you... There's no way you gave up loving pale ales as much as exciting to make these. So,
I mean, my favorite
how do you draw a line in
been
people's
like
heads?
3.5% bitter we put on hand pump.
Oh,
that
wow.
Was like very
but how
bitter.
Do you draw a line in people's heads between pale ale and this new thing?
I don't think you can, because the problem is like everyone expects every IPA to be like that nowadays, and we've just come to accept that like when we put that 4% pale ale on the hand pump that's bitter, no one's going to like it except for us and like our brewer
and your brewers. And your brewer friends.
And that's all right. On Untapped, it sucks. You know, it's, no one
it
likes it.
It down your whole average.
But whatever. It's, and I say that now, but like when I'm laying in bed at 10 o'clock at night looking at Untapped, fuck, these guys hate that beer.
No, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing.
That's just like Augie, except it's 3 a.m. instead of 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's
instead of 6 o'clock on 5 o'clock on Monday.
5 o'clock on Monday.
I don't get it. That,
So do you have beers that you know are dragging down your throat beard average on rape beer or whatever?
Sure.
I need to drink it when I'm brewing the beers you want me to brew, so just deal with it.
Whatever we brew that's not like a hazy IPA or a fruited sour, it's one of those beers that...
Yeah, but fruited sours still get...
I'm saying they bring our average... You know,
yeah, the
popular.
People that love them love them, but like the people that hate them more than they hate anything else, right? Like, your hand-pump bitter is probably going to fetch a 2.5.
Yeah.
Whereas your fruited sour in the hands of a guy who thinks it should be, you know, Pliny, is going to give it a quarter star.
Right.
Oh, how dare they?
Exactly. Yeah.
So nothing is funnier than watching a person handed a sour beer go, I hate sour beers. And you're like, so...
Yeah. Too sour.
Too sour. Yeah, well, that's fair, though. I've had beers that were...
There are some that, yeah, but...
Every now and then,
I guess
I embrace
say, like,
my dirty
sour.
Side.
I hate sour beers. It's like, well, then, why'd you order that beer that we told you was sour?
We wrote right on it. So when you fruit sours, what are you doing in a 7-barrel brew house to fruit sours? Like, how are you getting the fruit in? How are you getting it out? Like,
most of it happens in oak.
Right on.
So we ferment in a lot of ours... Beers that end up in bottles of sour saisons are fermented in puncheons and then racked to secondary barrels, and usually fruit in those. Sometimes they fruit in a bright
tank. So you're double dry fruiting? Have you thought about writing that on a label?
Should.
That's $8 on a
really
label.
Really only single dry wet fruiting, I think.
Just do it twice.
Just do it twice. Yeah, that's $8.
Just do it twice.
Write it on a label. That's $8.
But yeah, it mostly happens in barrels because it's...
Stop encouraging people. Just stop. It's not a thing.
He could double dry fruit.
I could, yeah.
Go on.
It's an easy way for, you know, it doesn't tie up a fermenter or a bright tank in the brewery.
No, it makes total sense. But I was thinking, there's a volume reality to all these things. And you go to places that are doing, like, in regular rotation fruited sours, and the amount of fruit they're putting into a tank, even though it's a quick flip to fruit it, there's guys doing like 3 pounds per barrel.
Yeah,
and 3 pounds per barrel in
a
7-barrel thing is a shit ton
a lot of
fruit to have to get out of your brew house.
For sure.
That's what
But
my
make
question
it six and then call it double.
Well, make it six and then make it eight and call it double. Just write it. All you got to do is write it, and you can charge more.
We don't fruit that that heavily.
Let's talk about that. So, this is a different way. Here's your chocolate you were looking for.
Yeah.
This could be that. I haven't tasted it yet, but I want this to be Choc Lobster. I want it to be a study of lobster beers.
But also like a ton of
I haven't tasted yet.
No. But even I haven't either. But a lot of booze phenolics as well.
Oh, yeah. Like airplane glue. Like I'm huffing. like we ran out of it.
We ran out of Listerine, so we moved on to the airplane.
Like latex paint and airplane glue and all those things I like to work in a non-ventilated space around. And some banana.
Oh, yeah, ripe banana.
Oh, but it doesn't taste like that. It tastes like a stout.
It does, but it still has that overripe banana, that brown banana skin thing going on for it as well.
Ooh, that's boozy. We got to let that blow off
a
little
bit. That's
nice. Yeah. We gotta let that blow up.
I like this.
There's some roast.
This is the beer that I drink when I'm trying to tune you out.
There you go. Well, you won't be hearing me in three sips, motherfucker. I would guess there's Evergreen in this.
I've been waiting a while to open this one up.
Really?
It's not one I was going to drink by myself.
So, waiting a while. So this is something that has some age on it then. Mm-hmm.
This has age in it showing this way?
Oh, man.
Boy, oh, boy.
Could you imagine how hot this was going into the bottle?
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a barrel, right? That's got to be wet barrel that picked up that much booze.
You think
they brewed it this high?
I don't know. I think they just...
I honestly
don't
know.
I think they just took bottles of, like,
Justin knows everything about it
because
that's Justin's job. And thanks to Eric, we are going to...
He's giving you the finger. No, I think they just took bottles of Evan Williams and just poured them
right into
the... Yeah.
You don't think this is Maker's Mark? Crack the wax, remelt it, reseal the bottle with the same wax?
But it's got a nice cherry,
Madagascar
vanilla thing going on to
it. Right
this
now.
This has a lot of.
If I gave you this in a shot glass, I think you'd think I gave you a shot.
Yeah.
Except for, it doesn't have the full burn of alcohol, so I don't want people to necessarily think that.
Yeah, no, that's just the nose.
But on the back of the tongue, after you finish the swallow, there's so much wood tannin coming off. And there's so much, like, it really is sort of like, it gets those taste buds salivating a little bit more.
So here's what I get, and it's in an order. Like, it's in a declining order as it goes, but quickly I get the bourbon vanilla notes.
Yeah.
Then I get some kind of roast that could be an adjunct. It could be coffee, it could be chocolate, you could say, but it's definitely roasty. And then it tapers off into that cherry fruit thing you're talking about, but in like a cigar way, like a, you know what I mean, like a old man's pipe from the 70s,
right, right.
Like a yacht rock pipe, you know, supermarket pipe smell. There's a dip I need you to fill in for me, Haldo, because it starts off with that smell, comes on as that boozy bourbon thing. Then there's an empty gap I've got no note for before it goes into the roast. And I don't know if it's just the alcohol evaporating before my tongue adjusts.
There's part of that. I'm getting leather notes as well, but I think that the booze is so strong on this that
this
could
is a
just
wet
be
barrel.
The brain.
Somebody
yeah.
did not clean this barrel before they put beer into it. Or it's
I'm going to hazard a guess that this is somewhere in like the 14% range.
I think whatever's written on this bottle is a lie.
Okay.
I think
this is a tax dodge. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a tax dodge. But more importantly, I don't think they know what they moved it. I think they finished a beer, put it into a barrel that was wet, and I think it probably picked up a percent or two from that, and they never
Justin
recalculated.
Justin is studying his iPhone 7 Plus so
well,
hard
well, that's
right
because
now.
We're drinking Bud Light, and he can't wait to tell us everything we got wrong.
It's Bud Ice. Yeah, that's what the harshness is. It's the Bud Ice.
Smirnoff Ice. That's yeah. what the banana is.
Well, see, and that's the thing, too. That banana sort of fades into the background pretty quick. We talked about that in the beginning. And then that sort of just becomes that overripe, almost like cherry, almost yeah. like just... This is a very earthy fruit, very sort of mushy fruit.
But the bourbon things are so dominant. I'm trying to pick the bourbon, which is an yeah. insane thing wow. to do.
I cannot do that.
With booze, but it's got like that Maker's Mark weeded feel to its bourbon component, which means to me it's Elijah Craig or Pappy or okay. one of those guys, because there's that weeded softness to the bourbon tone.
So
and
that's
the vanilla's huge.
That's a really interesting point then. So if this is one of those fancier bourbons,
somebody waited online for this. It okay. might not have been Daniel, but somewhere somebody waited on fucking line for this. Nobody walked into a store and said, "Oh, I'll try this out tonight."
The point that I'm trying to make though
barbecue.
Is that if somebody did get one of those barrels, yeah. that they would want that barrel to shine through, as opposed to. You know, hey, we have this and this is going in the back. Like, they wanted to, I would hope that the brewer would want to showcase that liquid.
All right, so hold on. I want to hear your answer to that
yeah.
because that is purely each brewer's philosophy, and how mm-hmm. philosophically you handle that is what makes you who you are to your peers and customers. And I know my answer to that the minute you say it, but I want to hear just your thoughts on that. So say you manage to get Jefferson 20 or mm-hmm. Pappy 23 or one of these really remarkable barrels. How are you using that tool for a beer?
Good question, John Hall. We don't brew any beers like that. I mean, barrels for us are like a sort of a blank canvas.
Yeah, but just in general, right. brewer, right? So somebody.
Yeah, you
gives
show up
you
at the
one
tomorrow,
of the.
Right, right.
So does everybody know that there isn't Pappy Van Winkle when it goes in the barrel? So no. all whiskey that goes into those barrels in those giant brew houses is whiskey.
Okay.
And then as they age, people taste out and they select what's going to end up being Pappy. Mm-hmm. So be it Makers is the base, or be it Elijah Craig is the base, or be it so-and-so. It's all that when it goes in the barrels, and then guys pick and guys hold on to and guys encourage. And then Pappy 23 is the selection from, you know, what would have 23-year-old versions of what have been 10,000 barrels of whiskey 23 years ago. Right, so what I'm saying is you've gotten a barrel that had that much character as a tool.
I mean, it seems like totally vain to say, but I would want to somehow beat that down and make it ours. You know, when I want a beer to go out with the Forest Main label on it, I want that to be the predominant feature of the beer. You know, I want people to drink that and say, "Oh, it's a Forest Main beer," maybe with a Pappy Van Winkle barrel in it.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever it is.
But yeah, whatever it is. But I think, you know, we release stuff with our name on it for a reason. Like, it's our beer. Right. And I want our house culture to be the predominant feature of that beer. And that may sound totally vain to some people, but I don't know. I think that's the reason we make beers. Like, it's
It almost doesn't make sense to give you that barrel.
No.
They're giving unless they're giving you some of that whiskey, so you can completely isolate its potential as an ingredient.
Right.
What I mean, like the barrel without the whiskey to you is just any barrel.
Right.
Is that
fair? Yeah, design a beer to fit that.
I get it.
Yeah.
So for me, John, what it would be is a liberty to make the angriest, most evil beer I've ever made. Because I don't believe in making beers taste ways that things already taste, right? So I'm not going to make a big, sweet stout to put in a big, sweet barrel. And if I got the biggest, sweetest barrel, I'd put the meanest, most evil stout I could make into it, knowing that I was looking at 2, 4, 6 years for what I hoped to happen to happen. Because what I want is that barrel to take all those edges off and the beer in the barrel to find itself. Mm-hmm. And that's a time horizon thing, right? This feels to me like this beer was not in this barrel with this whiskey. Mm-hmm. No way was it longer than 12 months. But it might have been 3 to 6.
Right.
Because they wanted that whiskey to imprint on the beer rather than that wood to imprint on the beer.
Yeah.
Not that it's bad. Like I said, I'm intrigued by the whiskey notes, but what upsets me kind of is I'm not getting much of the beer around it.
And I've had brewer representations both ways, where the whiskey has aged for 6 years or wherever, or the beer is aged for 6 years on the whiskey, and it is remarkable when it comes out. And it is super smooth, and it is unlike anything else, like when it first went in. This to me just tastes very much like you said, like 3 to 6 months, much on the easier side for whatever reason. But that said, it now makes me want to get a nice pour of brown liquor.
Yeah, that's the problem.
After
this
we're
is
done.
Moving
I know.
Me
yeah,
into
no,
a
this
weird
is,
space for booze.
That was a much better
tune to our next episode.
I have to run tonight.
Your answer was much better than mine, by the way.
Well, it's just
I drink
and eat a lot.
You know?
But no, you didn't write your sentence, and we know where this goes, right? No. I'm hoping this is like a Dirklert or somebody's fucking whale, and I've been invited to one of those tastings I like to go to with guys who actually know what those things are, and that's where I see, like, I really see some amazing stuff in those tastings. But if you can, you know, say an hour into a tasting when everybody's taste buds have moved out and you don't have sense anymore, and you just go, bang, I brought, wha-bam, and you put it down and it tastes exactly like this, everybody's like, oh my God, it's so much vanilla cake and so much chocolate.
And then, so I'm at that tasting with you, and then allegedly, I'm standing outside watching you taste through the window while it rains.
We're waving
and,
at you.
I'm still here.
Do you have a boombox over your head?
I have Justin's iPhone 7 Plus.
Are you the guy that carries the laptop iPhone 7?
This is beer that clearly comes out during a tasting.
Yeah.
And like I just said, I wrote this sentence before I was even thinking about it. I move on to liquor after this.
Yeah, this,
like,
this
there's nothing
the
else that I would want to have. But if I want to have, but also if I had a pretty generous pour of this, I'm still going to be in the mood to keep drinking against my better judgment.
But somewhere in the world, there's going to be a fruited version of this. You know what I mean? Like, nobody makes this beer and doesn't then make beer coconut or this beer cherry.
Blueberry coconut.
And that's what can follow this, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like. Somewhere somebody made the Lucky Charms version of
man,
this stout.
Do you think this
and then
is
you're
goose?
Like, oh, yeah, well, I've
the
got
vertical.
Do we think this is goose?
Oh, no, I don't think this is goose.
Okay.
It's not sour.
Okay.
Oh, my bad.
You had
or their
one
bed.
Job.
Wait, my bed or their bed?
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. So we've rambled well, which means time ran out on us, which I hate to have happen because I'm very
much
enjoying
talking
about beer.
Can we find out what the
beer is? We can,
Justin.
But I want, while Justin tells about the beer, you to figure out what we were supposed to talk about that I didn't get to. So, Justino.
So this is from a defunct brewery called Pretty Things from Massachusetts. And this is a barley wine called Our Finest Regards.
And it was this their closing the place barley wine?
It was brewed.
No, they had made this before.
It was not barrel aged, actually.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Come on.
Bullshit.
I was very surprised by that.
I call bullshit on that.
Our Finest Regards is our toast to holiday season. We brew using reiterative mash. We use the first runnings of the mash as water in the second batch, mashing in again with new malt. This leads to a very rich maltiness and a pretty strong beer. 13.5%.
I'm going to pull an Augie here. Let's get Dan Paquette
that's
on the show.
Yeah, okay. No, that's
and
bullshit.
Talk
that,
to him
that's
about
a lie.
That.
That's a lie. Read more about it. Google that beer. That this saw barrels.
There's no,
everything.
Did this come
like,
in an unmarked unmarked bottle?
No, it's a bottle.
Yeah.
This saw barrel.
It's been in my fridge for a long time.
What's up?
It's been in my fridge for a long time. I
was it sitting next to a bottle of whiskey in your fridge? Osmosis? That's how it works, right?
Was it sitting in a bottle of whiskey?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You would think so.
No, this saw barrels. This saw barrels.
I'm glad anyway. I never opened it by myself. It's been tempting me in my
thank
fridge
you so
while,
much.
But,
thank
I love
you.
It.
That's
no, very cool. And
I never would have opened it by
I would
myself.
Bet you for sure they at least used a Belgian yeast to
right.
to get it where it was going, right? Because the amount of fruit in there and the vanilla has to be.
And it's probably like 3 years old now, I guess.
Well, held on, great.
Yeah.
What? How cold was your fridge?
45 probably.
So that would hold it pretty static. But that's if there's really no barrel in here, then everybody's just wasting barrels.
Right.
If you can do this without a barrel, then you're just wasting barrels.
Yeah.
There is I think one of the foremost experts on pretty things is Andy Crouch.
Yeah, I was going to say
right. Friends. I'm having drinks
Angry
with him
Andrew
tomorrow.
Couch. Go back and listen
to
that.
So Matt, if you find us tomorrow, I'll buy you those 3 pints.
Mark.
I'm going to ask him about this. There's no ABV on this. There's no real information.
No, I thought there was
just... It says 13.5 or 14.
I love that you're committed to more with the second show coming up.
There we go.
All right. Good
I'm
night,
just
Hannah.
Passing the bottle to Cass.
For those of you at home, before John just poured a ton of more whiskey into his glass, his wife came and picked up the baby. Rest assured.
The baby.
All right.
No
so, Daniel, what? What didn't we hit on? Tell us the coolest fucking thing about your art in beer. Because we started on your art in physical form. Your art in beer. Where's the next coolest piece coming out of your kettle?
And we're doing, it's our version of a can release every week. We do crowlers every week of IPAs.
Oh boy.
So I do a new label for that every week, which is pretty
really?
Awesome. Yeah. So, and they're very different than our bottle labels. It's like a new kind of family of labels for us.
Now, are you degassing these crowlers?
We treat them like cans. So, we purge,
so they're just
sanitize.
A big-ass can.
Exactly.
So
I call them big cans.
Do me a favor, don't call them crowlers.
Right.
Just because I've got an ongoing argument with the world about how shitty a crowler is.
Yeah.
But that size can is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? It's
Yeah, we don't call them crowlers. They're big cans for us.
If you've purged it and it can
are
last.
Are you using the official Oscar Blues technology or are you using somebody else?
Don't you have to?
Then I think you legally have to call it a crowler then, right?
Really?
Isn't
There's
that
no
like
Because a crowler is a growler replacement and a large can properly treated is a large can properly treated.
I think that's just how they, I think it's like crowler TM if you use that machine. That's what I'm.
I don't believe that.
Whatever.
Okay.
Once we buy it.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been drinking whiskey-aged barley wine, so hell do I know
To be
what I'm
fair, we
about.
Just thought Bud Light was a Prairie Artisan.
I don't buy the cans or the lids from them. So
it's pretty things.
All right. So then it's probably definitely not a crowler.
Justin, do we have a letter?
Oh, wait. I already read it, remember?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Wait, that's the letter? That can't be the letter in the middle of the show. We got to close out on the topic.
No, that's the letter.
No, that was instruction. That wasn't a question.
Justin, if people want to find us online, how do they find us?
No, we got to talk about Patreon, fuckface. We can't move on. So we've been Patreoning for a while now, and the ducats are rolling in. Things are going well. We want to say thank you.
That's why you have the beats.
Sorry?
That's why you have the beats now?
No, I've always had the beats.
Oh.
It's always an OCD thing. Right. Hopefully
the other three of us really would really like some...
Hopefully what the actual money will do... I've been told
These
your headphones
way
are way, way, way better than mine.
Yeah, no, beats are bullshit.
By a lot of people. No, they're orange, dude. Are you not paying attention to
I understand
garden?
The color of them, but the quality of beats
And to be fair,
is
since
bullshit.
I bought all five, I was saving a little money on these.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, back to it, John Hall. So the hope for the Patreon money is things like Brian's gas here with all the equipment gets paid for.
Okay.
And if it goes well, hopefully it travels us to your brewery to do this instead of you having to come to us. Mm-hmm. And if it goes even better, hopefully it travels us to, whatever.
To your house,
dear
listener.
It just makes the show better.
Yeah,
if we go to a listener's house, that's going to be expensive.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to have a ghost key on me. But that's cool, and I'm just going to tease a little thing for the thieves. So, thieves, all this time you've been listening to John and I rant about drinking beers. To make John happy, I made two beers. They're both proper, no fucking around, no Augie magic cream ales.
I'm so excited.
One is a 3% called Canoe because it's fucking close to water. Making love in a canoe because it's fucking close to water. Blah, 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 blah. Eric,
how is this beer like sex in a canoe?
No, why is American beer like making love in a canoe? Because it's fucking close to water. Is Eric Idle's joke at Hollywood Bowl. So we made that beer to make John happy. And then to carton it up, I made a 6% version of the same beer. Three and three together in a six-pack. It comes out at the brewery on Thursday.
And look at the label.
If you listen to this show from the beginning, you're fully aware of why this beer was made. And since it's going to piss off every single person with a social media beer account, we're going to need the thieves to drink it and love it. Because everybody that's ever ticked a beer is going to be like, I don't fucking get it. So enjoy it. And love it.
I'm going to come out of untapped retirement.
John Hall, you are on the can.
I know.
John Hall, you are on
the
can.
The can's pretty awesome.
Anyway, but so that's a little thing for you thieves. Just so you know, if they want to write us a letter like Eric did to yell at you for doing your job poorly, what do
Mark,
they do?
Mark. It was Mark.
It's the same name, Eric and Mark.
They can do it at stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
But yes, by all means, thieves, please give us money so that Augie, too, can butcher your name.
Thank you, Michael. What else do they do? What else do they do?
They can send Augie a message on Facebook.
Faccia libro.
Or to Still This Beer, and Augie will reply.
Sloan Dog just walked by the windows. That's the guy that runs my tasting room on a date on a Monday on his day off. All right, Jill. So that's enough. We appreciate it. Thanks for Patreon.
I love that he didn't make eye contact.
He desperately tried
not
to. He knew what was going on.
Did not break stride.
Anyway, but let's not start a whole new show.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all. Get at us. Let us know what you think. Daniel, thanks for joining us, man.
It's been my pleasure.